I am extremely excited today as a director of the Y and as a guy who's been doing this work for a long time to have Bob Noling with us today. Let me just tell you a little bit about him, then let me tell you the things that I think are really extraordinarily cool as way of introduction. Bob is a Kokomo native. For those of you that are not aware of that, he grew up for part of his childhood, a good bit of his childhood here in Kokomo, in the Kokomo area. He is currently the chairman of Eagles Landing Partners. Formerly, he was the CEO of Telwares, Simdisk Technologies, and Covad Communications. Prior to that, Bob had a long career in the telecommunications industry. Started at Indiana Bell in the late 70s, and then he included senior executive positions with Ameritech and U.S. West. So Bob's had an incredible amount of success in his career, impressive success as the world defines it, and we are extremely excited that this son of Kokomo has gone on to have such a brilliant career. More so for me, I am excited because today I get to welcome home not only a son of Kokomo, but a son of the Y. In his book, on page 25, I'm going to read this. He says this about this YMCA. He says, "The Kokomo YMCA built an academic and religious foundation for me that would stay with me all of my life. The Y is where I learned about values, about Christianity. There is a reason for the C in the YMCA. All of the great Christian values were on display there. So it is with extreme pleasure and with a great deal of joy that I introduce to you Bob Noling."
I'm not sure if I should say good morning or good afternoon. Maybe it's just good tidings and welcome. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. It looks like he talked to my mother and she gave him some good things to say. I am extremely grateful that I have an opportunity to share a few moments with you today. In my very fortunate career, I've had the unique opportunity to be in a lot of great forums. I have been in the presence of kings, queens, sultans, which I didn't know what that meant until I looked it up, heads of states, presidents of this United States. And I was telling my assistant that in all of those public forums I've been in, I've never once been nervous. I've never once had anxiety. I've never been lost for words. Sometimes the crowds that I'm afforded the opportunity to address have numbered 20,000 or more, where you can't even see the faces. And God has given me some incredible gifts, and one of them has been this ability to find words and to find the appropriate things to say. I have been nervous, and my stomach has been knotted up since Monday about coming home. I am so humbled to be in your presence. And more than anything else that I would share with you today, I would really like to just say thank you. Thank you for your investment in this YMCA. Thank you for your investment into the kids in the community of Kokomo. I used to go and meet my mother at the end of her day of working for a Kokomo family called the Kunkles. She cleaned their home. And I would take a wagon, and I would venture over to the Kunkles' home. And Mrs. Kunkel always met me with a hug. And there would be T-shirts and little dresses that she would give my mom. And we would go home together. I was only 6 years old. And one day, as we were walking away from the Kunkel household, my mother said, "Mrs. Kunkel told me about a place where you and your brothers and sisters can go and enjoy activities with other kids. You can learn to swim, you can learn to read and write better, you can play baseball," and it was very exciting. And I got home and I started talking to my brothers and sisters about this great place that Mom said we could go, and we didn't have to have money. We didn't have money. And nobody seemed to be excited. But boy, the next day I ran to the Kokomo YMCA. And out of breath, I bounded up the stairs, and front desk is not where it is today, but there was a woman at the front desk. Imagine the day if a six-year-old walked into the Y and say, "Hey, I'm here." We called those guys in uniform and say, "There's a little six-year-old lost at the Y." She said, "Honey, come on in. What's your name?" And I told her my name. And they took me around. And I told them that my mom said I could come here. And I was very clear, I don't have any money. And she said, "Sweetheart, that's okay." And I came to this YMCA every day. This is where I got my first Bible. This is where they made us show them our homework before they'd let me run in this gym on this floor. I learned to swim in this pool. Not through the tadpole or the minnow program. The bully kids pushed me in. And they watched me drink a lot of water. Somehow I hit the bottom and I came back up, and I've been swimming ever since. So I might have to come and complete the minnow and tadpole programs. So my coming back today has been a very anxious moment for me. I can't tell you what an impression that this facility made in my life. I found Christ very early in my life. And I can tell you that whatever success you would want to attribute that I have achieved, you should know it has not been me, it has been He who is within me. Kokomo doesn't have the kind of issues where families are desolate. But Kokomo does have issues where there are many in need. I was blessed today to see two of my first cousins walk in, Timmy and Jeffrey, my two first cousins. I was then blessed to look around and saw Reverend Jack Woodard, one of my mentors, mentor my entire life, another wonderful relative. And as I got here on the podium, I looked and I see my relative Oscar Harris. And every time I seem to show up anywhere in the Kokomo or Indianapolis area, I can almost bet I'm going to find him in the audience. Thank you for being here, and thank you for all of your love and support. Folks, I don't really have a message. You don't need a message. They give you free food, you come out, so that's great, so you guys ought to do that more often. I think what you're doing is fantastic. Us guys, we have issues. We have difficulty talking to our spouses. We have difficulty dealing with emotion. We sometimes don't know how to express our faith. I don't know why God made us the way He did, but we have issues. The fact that you are getting together, that you're undertaking the study of the book, the greatest book that ever existed. The fact that you are trying to figure out how to be more like Him and that you can serve each other and your communities is a wonderful thing to see. Oh, I could go on about things in my life, but today is really not about me. Today is about you. And my encouragement to you is keep this going. Make it bigger. Make it better. Be diligent. And hopefully when I move back in about 2 years, and I am coming home, I'll join you and be a part of the fixture of what it is you're trying to do. I don't know how God decides who He blesses. I do know that if you stay steadfast and if you get out of your way, and when I mean get out of your way so that you can let Him do His work, that's when the wonderful things happen. You know, He is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? I give all the honor to God. And I will not. I want you to be very clear with this point of view. I will not ever forsake my Lord. So in closing, the book was something that was not my idea. I never aspired to write a book. In fact, I used to make fun of people that wrote books because if they were successful people, they gave you all of these steps to follow and you too shall be fulfilled. It took them 11 years to convince me to write those pages. I thought I'd get the book written in about 3 months. It took 2.5 years. The first time we sat down with the ghostwriter, 20 minutes into the first session, and my assistant Sulu was there, I was uncontrollably sobbing because he took me back to my life at 6 years old here in Kokomo. And I hadn't thought about some of the things that happened at 6 years old. Those of you that have a few gray hairs like me, you can turn the clock around and you know what it was like in Kokomo back in 1965. Back in 1963, back in 1961, and we've come a long way. I didn't aspire to go and become a chief executive. In fact, my only aspiration in life was to one day put on a shirt and tie, make enough money so I could take care of my mother. Jeff and Timmy and I, we all know it. We had wonderful mothers. No dads around, but wonderful mothers that gave us the shirt off their back. With all of my brothers and sisters, my mom did a great job. Someone once asked me, so what was it like, Bob, growing up so poor? Yeah, when I went to the movies, all you had to do was take a little emblem off of the milk carton. And you'd get in the movies. That's how I got in the movies. Someone said, well, what was it like being so poor, being so disadvantaged? And my response was, it was great. How can it not be great? We didn't know any different, did we? Everybody around us was like us. Nobody had a telephone. So what? We wore the same shirt every day. He did. I did. You did. What's the big deal? You don't know. But I made a commitment that I was going to go and take care of my mother. My mother has been an inspiration to me. No, she didn't do everything right. Yes, she has a lot of weaknesses. But Geneva gave us everything she could. Found that I was pretty good at sports. Went out to Maconaqua High School and they tell me I was a pretty good ball player. This kid who fed you today, Craig Hartz, that kid comes along and breaks all my records. I still hug him when I see him. So the book was just that. Something where maybe there might be a nugget for a kid. Maybe there's a nugget for somebody trying to find their way in the business world. Because life really, folks, is nothing more than how do you respond when you hit walls? How do you respond when you fall down? You've heard the cliches, pick yourself up. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. Most of the time when I get down, I kind of like staying down. I tell people, while you're down, everybody you got to graduate, go ahead and get it all out. It's like vomiting. Just give it all out. Eventually, you do have to pick yourself up. And I don't know about you, but the only way that I've ever known how to persevere is when I turn it over to someone with a higher authority. Every time in my life I've tried to figure it out, tried to advance my career, tried to be the best at what I was doing, to outsmart the other guy, to beat the competition, I failed. When I surrender and do what's right and deny myself, then success happens. I've been blessed beyond measure. It's time for me to come home. It's time for me to be a part of what you're doing. I pledge to be a part of building the new YMCA. I pledge to become a member of this community and to give back to those who so graciously gave for me. I can't explain a lot, but I do accept God's gifts. I accept His blessings, and I also know that for He who much is given, much is required. I thank you for allowing me to take a few moments with you today. I hope those of you that do get the book, you enjoy it. You'll find it's a very raw book because I told the true story. I didn't give you the follow 7 steps. I told you about failure. I can tell you there's a story in that book where I led a company from $5 million of revenue to a $14 billion market cap. And I got fired. And as my assistant knows, in that book, I could have told about how dysfunctional my board was. I could have told about nobody has ever been fired in the history of running a business for missing a quarter. And didn't miss the quarter because I missed revenues. I missed the quarter because my suppliers were dying because of the internet bubble and they couldn't pay my bills. But I took the high road. In that book, you'll see that I take all the blame for the shortcomings of the business. And so it's raw. I think it'll make you laugh in places. It'll also bring you to some tears. At the end of the day, I count my blessings. I thank Him for everything that He's done in my life. And so the Noling family is planning to move back to Indianapolis. It's going to take her about 2.5 years to build the house. In my family, I've never been to a closing, don't want to be at a closing, don't want anything to do with a closing. And I found the way to stay married for the 35 years I've been married is you let her do what she does. Are you guys listening to me? When she puts ugly wallpaper up, you've got to say, that is unique. When there are things that you can't explain, like, I don't know what that room is, and you don't ask a question, you just say, that is beautiful. Found out later it was called a wrapping room. A wrapping room. It was a room with a whole bunch of cabinets around it. Big thing in the middle. And I had no idea. Is it an embalming room? I mean, what kind of... But you don't ask questions. You just tell them to go ahead. So once she puts that, puts a residence together, we'll be back to this community. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the expansion. And I want to be here, God willing. Allows me to walk the earth a few more years when we put the shovel in the ground and start the renovation. I walked up the steps today and I was trembling because I was coming back to where it all started. So again, I just want to say thank you for your investment in me. Thank you for your prayers. Because of you, I've been riding on the wings of eagles, because of you, every one of you. Every one of you, and I thank you. So, with that, you told me 25. I couldn't listen to me for more than 10, so that's enough.